Blessed be the name of the Lord, and blessed are we to be found in this house of prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that there is great blessing for those who revere your name and who honor you. Help us to find great delight in your commands and to follow your word in obedience, that we may receive your blessings each day. As we now read Deuteronomy 33, help us to hear your word and to put them into practice, so that we may live well and walk in your delight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's read from Deuteronomy 33. This is the blessing that Moses, the man of God, pronounced on the Israelites before his death. He said, in verse 6, "Let Reuben live and not die, nor his people be few." And this he said about Judah: "Hear, Lord, the cry of Judah, bring him to his people. With his own hands he defends his cause, or be his help against his foes." And Levi, he said, in verse 10, "He teaches your precepts to Jacob and your law to Israel. He offers incense before you, the whole burnt offerings on your altar. Bless all his skills, Lord, and be pleased with the work of his hands. Strike down those who rise against him, his foes, till they rise no more." About Joseph, he said, "May the Lord bless his land with the precious dew from heaven above and with the deep waters that lie below, with the best the sun brings forth and the finest the moon can yield, with the choicest gifts of the ancient mountains and the fruitfulness of the everlasting hills, and the best gifts of the earth and its fullness and the favor of him who dwell in the burning bush. Let all this rest on the head of Joseph, on the brow of the prince among his brothers. His majesty, in majesty he is like a firstborn bull. His horns are the horns of a wild ox. With them he will gall the nations, even those at the ends of the earth. Such are the 10,000s of Ephraim, such are the thousands of Manasseh." And finally, upon Israel, verse 26, "There is no one like God of Jeshurun, who rides across the heavens to help you in the clouds in his majesty. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will drive out your enemies before you, saying, 'Destroy them.' So Israel will live in safety. Jacob will dwell secure in a land of grain and new wine, where the heavens drop dew. Blessed are you, Israel. Who is like you, a people saved by the Lord? He is a shield and helper, and your glorious sword. Your enemies will cower before you, and you will tread on their heights." Okay, so Moses, the man of God, on the verge of his departure from earth, look upon his people, look upon the Israelites, and with a shepherd's heart, he blessed them. And it is a kind of a farewell message, and he's doing so with the purpose of blessing his people to have a great future. This week's chapter, chapter 33, complements that of what Pastor covered last week on the Song of Moses in chapter 32. And while the Song of Moses dwells on warnings, today's chapter on blessings depicts the benefits of God, benefits to God's people through his divine favor. Both were fitting utterances of Moses upon the people, and this upon the people for his farewell message. God sought to encourage his people both through warnings as well as blessings, to attain the best potentials of God's purpose for His people. The blessings in Deuteronomy 33 are similar in effect to the blessings of Jacob found in Genesis 49. But while Jacob's blessings were for his 12 sons, Moses' blessings were for a collective tribe. So, he blesses the tribes rather than only for the individual. And everyone must belong to this, to a tribe. And in today's context, it applies to us as belonging to the church body. There are certain blessings we receive collectively as members of the church body. The release of blessings reflect the mercies of God upon the tribes of Israel, but just like many believers, each tribe would respond differently. So while some of the tribes received their prophetic blessings, others did not. So as a church body, we are heirs to the blessings as joint heirs with Christ Jesus. And therefore, these lessons upon the tribes of Israel apply to us too. But what does it mean for Moses to bless the people in this nature? He's blessing them with a great future. And it's a kind of a prophetic prayer. It's a prophetic utterance upon the people as he blesses them. And this spoken blessing is very powerful. The spoken word in our blessing is very powerful. And this spoken blessing is a positive biblical statement that invokes the blessing of God on the life of another person. We can learn much from the blessings that Moses made upon the people and also the fathers of old who blessed their people as it was time for them to leave. And we can learn so much of these blessings and so much from the lesson that we are going through today. Because having recognized that the blessings can impact our future, we must therefore want to seize such blessings and to be able to know how to seize them. And having gotten the blessings ourselves, that we would want to be an instrument of blessing to others. So, in Deuteronomy 33, when Moses, the prophet of God, pronounced blessings on his people, note that he did so in the presence of God. Why do I say that? It's because in verse 2, it says that God showed up in a very powerful way. So in a picture word, what is written in verse 2 is very poetic, but in a picture word, it's like God, the light of God, comes from the north, from the south, from the east, and from the west, and focus upon this group of people as Moses releases the blessing of God upon them. And so today, as we sit here, we also desire that to be found in the presence of God, and so that the Lord will shine from the north, from the south, from the east, and from the west upon us as we hear His word and as we receive His blessings. And so Moses blessed the people according to their tribes. And today we will probably only have time to look at the significance of maybe the four of them. We'll be looking at Reuben, Judah, Levi, and Joseph. Okay, and in the process of this delivery, I will also bring about some examples that we can learn of Simeon and also of Asher. Okay? So for Reuben, the blessing word that Moses prayed was, "Let Reuben live and not die, nor his people be few." Why did he make such a blessing? And there's a background to this. Can you raise this for me?
Thanks.
Thanks, Jackie. And for this strike to carry on living, it must reproduce in a continuing chain of descendants. This is the blessing every disciple must desire, that he must not be the last link in the chain. So it applies to us too, that we, as believers of Christ Jesus, and as disciples, we will not be the last chain, that we will move, we will reach out to others and to bring them to the kingdom of God. And the blessing of Moses for Reuben is for its survival and growth. Moses prayed, "Let Reuben live and not die, nor his people be few," asking for the tribe of Reuben to be blessed with growth. And the background is this. The background comes from Genesis 49, verse 3 and 4, which tells us that Reuben, at one point in his life, he fell into temptation and he committed a grave sin. It was Jacob, his father, who pronounced this upon him. "Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, the first sign of my strength, excelling in honor, excelling in power, turbulent as the water. You will no longer excel, for you went up onto your father's bed, onto my couch, and defiled it." So what happened here? Reuben was the firstborn son of Jacob through Leah, described in the Bible as Jacob's unloved wife. And what did Reuben do at that time? Reuben went to sleep with his father's, Jacob's favorite wife, Rachel's maid, who is also considered as Jacob's wife. Complicated story, right? Okay, but he did what he did was also for him to affirm his prominence as the firstborn. But that's not the way to receive God's blessing. Anyway, to cut a long story short, Reuben violated God's law and a curse came upon him. Mentioned in Deuteronomy 27 verse 20, that cursed is anyone who sleeps with his father's wife, for he dishonors his father's bed. And that cost Reuben a lot. He lost his birthright. And normally, the firstborn is entitled to a double portion blessing. But Reuben forfeited his birthright, which was passed on to another son. So it looks like the penalty is very great, isn't it? But that's the way it is. And some sins bring about greater and lasting consequences than others. Okay, for instance, in Exodus, we see the plagues that besieged Egypt due to Pharaoh's hardness of the heart. And the plagues that came impacted the people differently. And when Pharaoh came up and begged Moses to remove the plague, because the frogs were coming all over the place. So it was a plague of frogs entertaining the whole community of the Egyptians. And so it's very scary, right? So when Pharaoh begged Moses to remove, God did not remove the frogs as he did when it was the flies that swarm around them, where he brought the wind and simply blew away all the flies, every single one of them. But for the frogs, they died on the spot and they pile up one on top of the other. And so imagine the stench that came out from the dead frogs. And so this is a picture of how some sins have lasting consequences more than others. That sometimes the smell of our sins stays longer with us. While we cannot choose the consequences of our sin, but what we can choose to not sin. So now, when we look at the description of Reuben's character, he's described as this, that he's unstable as water, he wasn't firm, and he lacked commitment. And there was also no sign of Reuben's repentance either from the grievous sin he committed. So, when he did not confess, when he did not repent, the sin nature of this particular type lingers on, and it will go down to his generations as well. And so now you understand the background of Moses' blessing upon Reuben, and that the Reuben tribe would continue on, be blessed, that they would remain, that they would turn around. Okay, and so the Reuben tribe, as I mentioned, they continued to sin, and this was what happened. That while in the wilderness, you remember what happened, that it was when Moses had to come down from the mountain because something was happening down below. That was caused by the Reubenites. Okay, the Reuben. And in this particular instance, going back, okay, it was during the in the wilderness that Reuben tribe continued to sin, and they joined in Korah's rebellion against Moses. And if you remember, there was this great God instituted punishment upon the people, and the tribe of Reuben decreased from 46,500 to 43,730 fighting men. Okay. So the sin continued on, and Reubenites were involved in that. And then you will also recall that when the Israelites crossed the Jordan River into the Promised Land, there were a number of tribes, 2.5 tribes, that decided not to cross over the Jordan River, where they remained on the east of the Jordan River. But God's blessing upon them is the Promised Land, which is, they must cross the Jordan River and to the western part of the river. But Reuben was the first to look upon the blessings that he has received, and then to see that the land to the east of the Jordan River is a good pasture land, and therefore he wanted to remain there. Okay, we'll come back more to this. But this is just to highlight some of the rebellious nature that came out of this tribe. And the lesson for us is this, that if you and I choose to live in certain sins, we risk forfeiting God's blessing in the future. And the lesson of Reuben is that if you want to rob yourself of blessing, then keep living in defiance of the word of God, and sin will rob us of the blessings. But by the grace of God, what is the blessing Moses prayed for Reuben tribe here? That despite their instability, and despite the way they were, that God would still keep Reuben as a tribe, that they will not diminish. And Moses says, let them live and not die. So the blessing word here is a kind of a prayer of intercession. Like, oh Lord, please keep him and let him live and let him turn around and let him not diminish and cross out the chain of his generation. Let his chain of generation not be broken. So precisely that was the blessing that is given. It's also a wake-up call for Reuben, and to live, not to live in sin, to turn around, and so that the tribe will not diminish. Next, we come to Judah. And for Judah is, hear, Lord, and hear the cry of Judah. Be his help against his foes. And Judah was the remnant tribe
loyal in worship to the Lord as compared to the other tribes. So, for Judah, he had that, although Judah had many faults, but Judah repented of them. Judah had faults, but the difference is that he repented, and that repentance changed the cause of curse upon him to that of blessings for his generation. You remember Joseph was thrown into the pit by his brothers? This happened at Dothan, and they decided that they would sell Joseph as a slave to the Midianite merchants. So as they saw the caravan of Ishmaelites that had come from Gilead and were on their way to Egypt, they sold Joseph at a price of 20 shekels of silver. And it said that 20 shekels of silver is equivalent to about 20 to 30 days wages. Okay, not a big amount, right? But he was sold by his brothers as a slave. And who was responsible for that idea and that decision? Well, Joseph. He was sold. And Judah was the voice that influenced his brothers to sell their own brother, Joseph, as a slave. But years later, Joseph, now he's the second man in Egypt, encounters his brothers and wants to test them to see whether their heart is still the same. And you know this story, right? And so, at the right time, he asked the brothers to bring his own brother, Benjamin. And when Benjamin came, he threatened to withhold Benjamin. But what did Judah say? Judah came before him and Judah said, "Let me stand in his place." Okay? So that came from a heart of repentance. And when Joseph saw this, Joseph could not withhold his emotions. And he cried out loud. And at the end of which, there was reconciliation there for the sons of Jacob. Okay? And so the prophetic nature of this simple statement, "Hear, Lord, the cry of Judah, be his help against his foes," leverages Judah as the blessed tribe that would take on the leadership position with lineage of kings that will culminate to usher in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus himself, okay, will come under this lineage of Judah. And your observation is this, that every time the Lord has some great work to be done, he will seek someone to provide leadership. And the application for us is that when that time comes, when we are called upon of the Lord to be doing something for him, will we rise up to take it on? Will you make yourself available when you're called upon? And I sense that in the coming months, coming years, there'll be a call upon certain individuals here to rise up to take that special leadership role that the Lord wants you to do. And when you know that is a calling upon you to take on that role, will you take it on? For Levi, your faithful servant who keeps watch over your word and ensures covenant keeping. He teaches the word, offers incense unto God, bless all his skills, and that all his works be of acceptable standards to the Lord. Levi's blessing is unique. Levi's blessing was that of priesthood. Special leadership in all of Israel. Spiritual leadership for the Israelites. But how could it be that Levi should take such an honor? Because Levi also had his impediments. Levi, together with Simeon, did some grievous sin in the past in anger, and they carried out revenge killing in a torturous manner on the people of Shechem that Jacob said made the Israelites a stink among the people around them. This grievous sin landed them to forfeit the inheritance of land in the promised land. So Levi as well as Simeon forfeited the land allocation as it was upon them as they entered the promised land. But blessing came to Levi in a special way because of certain thing that happened, and God saw that. And this blessing imparted on Levi with spiritual leadership did not come as a random choice, but it's because of something that they did. Can you trace it back? What happened? What did they do? And verse 9 gives us the answer. It was said of Levi that he watched over the word of God and guarded the covenant that the people were supposed to have with God. And putting the Lord first, even above father, mother, children, and loved ones. So they put God first, above all. When did this happen? When Moses came down from the mountain and the Israelites were partying and worshipping the golden calf. You remember that? It was not about partying, but it was about the celebration of wickedness and sexual immorality and idolatry and the breaking of God's second commandment. So, Moses was enraged. You remember? And God wanted to destroy all the Israelites. Remember? But Moses stood as a mediator between God and the sinful man. And as an act of mercy, Moses offered, "Who is on the Lord's side? Who is on the Lord's side? Come to me." And what happened? Only the Levites, the sons of Levites came. The offer was to all, but only the Levites came. It was a general call to all to make a repentance and to come and be on the Lord's side rather than the worship of idols. And so they came forward supporting Moses and obeying the call to fight on the side of Yahweh. And the severity of the punishment corresponded to the magnitude of the crime. And so, on that day, many suffered the consequence of their sin. And Levi was the one to institute the punishment of the Lord upon them. And so, Deuteronomy 33 verse 9 says this, that they guarded your covenant. It was the Levite. And so God's covenant was put back in place, their covenant with God. And so, although the Levites would not have any land of their own when they entered the promised land, that they would serve God as priests, providing spiritual leadership in every tribe. But Numbers 35:7 also tells us that when they entered the promised land, the Levites were given 48 towns, and six of which were designated as cities of refuge. Okay? So, they were the priests for the people of God. And the lesson learned on Levi's blessing is this, that if you and I choose to put God first and love Him above all things, we position ourselves high in God's list with the privilege of serving Him. But many, sad to say, will not be able to rise up to this. Why? Because we find it difficult to put God first in everything. Okay? So when we put God first in everything, then the word of the Lord says that everything will fall into its place. The blessing of the Lord will be there. Right? Put God first. So, it's in specific, it's about choosing God above everything else. When it comes to choosing between God and your loved ones or your prized possession, that you put God first. And God says, on looking at the heart of the person, that I can use this kind of a person. I can use this man. I can use this woman. Because we have earned the right to be used by God to touch other lives. And to be able to be convinced that God is more important than even our loved ones. That is putting God first. And Joseph. You find that the blessing for Joseph is very long. Joseph, the favorite son. The blessings of Joseph is that he will receive the best and finest the sun and the moon offers. Wow. Day and night, he will receive the best. He will receive the choice gifts and fruitfulness. The best gifts and favor of God and man. He will receive the double portion blessing through his sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. But what does it take for you and I to hold such a blessing? So we take a look at the character of Joseph. Joseph was a faithful man of God and he feared God. And the Bible tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and of many blessings that God will have upon us. The fear of God. And because of the fear of God, he did not participate in the mischiefs of his brothers. Because he had the fear of God, he did not yield to the temptations of Potiphar's wife. He ran away from sin rather than to stay put when seduced by Potiphar's wife to see how far he could go before he shut down. No. The moment he came, the temptation was there, he ran. He was patient and persevered in times of trouble. And as I have covered before, he forgave his brothers who sold him as a slave. So Joseph was a man who feared God. And recently, I had the honor to minister to a person. This was just 2 weeks ago. And I ministered to this person who had gone wayward for many years. He left the faith and he went wayward. And as time went on, things became from bad to worse. And he knew that he was getting nowhere. And things were not getting any better. And things cannot get any better unless he turns back to the Lord his God. And only God can change. So, putting aside all his pride and so on, he boldly came back and he came before us to be ministered and he made a comeback. In other words, he prayed for forgiveness and to ask for restoration. And as the Lord was, and as I was ministering to him, the Lord gave me a word for him. And the word came from Psalm 123. It's not that I remembered that this was a chapter on the fear of God, but it's the word that the Lord tells me to tell him. And so when I turn to Psalm 123, it's this. That blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to Him. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Yes, This will be the blessing for the man who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you live to see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Yes. So, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and of many blessings that God will have upon you. This chapter is for us as well, to encourage us to have the fear of God in us, so that we will receive the blessings. And I knew that this was the word for this man, because precisely I believe he was looking for this. Okay? And God tells him, okay, now that you have repented, now it is your responsibility to live a life worthy of his calling. And that you must have the fear of God, because the fear of God in us will guide us in the way we walk and in the way we choose to follow God. And so the blessings of God will be there. So, this man tells me that upon coming back to the Lord 2 weeks ago, he suddenly received the kind of peace that he had never experienced in the past many years that he left the Lord. The peace of God that comes back. And the Bible speaks about the peace of God that transcends all understanding. And people will not understand what this peace of God that transcends all understanding until he himself receives it. And so for you and I, who are walking in God, I believe that we are walking in the peace of God that transcends all understanding. And as we look at the examples, we notice that God is most generous in his blessings. The blessings are there, but sometimes we are the ones who choose not to reap of the full measure of blessing that God has for us. How? By the way we live that is not in compliance with God's law. We didn't obey, or we only obey part of what God tells us to do. So as a result, we fail to receive the full measure of blessing that God has for us. So, receiving the blessing in order that we can also bless others. So first, we have to recognize who is the source of all blessings. To recognize that it is the Lord God himself who blesses us. God is in the nature of blessing. God bless his creation. He created and he blessed. God bless Noah and his sons. Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. God bless the nations through his people. So we are his people. We are also supposed to release God's blessing. God's blessing will pass to the nations through us. And God tells Abraham, I will make you a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. And all people on earth will be blessed through you. So, we must recognize that it is God who is the giver of all blessings. And we also must recognize that, recognize God's revelation of himself, his rulership, and the relationship with his covenant people. When we are in a covenant relationship with God, then this is something that is to be treasured, and is something that will allow us to receive the blessings of God. And so, from verse 2 to verse 5, it speaks in a very poetic way about why God is blessing us. And so Moses, when he was about to bless the tribes, he declared this so that the people will understand why God wants to bless them. And so basically what he's saying in this poetic way is that it's because God loves his people. God loves His people. And that because His people receive His instruction and obey and follow after Him, that is when the blessing will be upon us. And He also said that it's because He's king over Jeshurun. Jeshurun means the upright one, Israel. So He's the king over Israel. And upon us as the people of God, He's king in our life. So it is when we enthrone Jesus as king in our life, that is when we will be able to receive the blessing. If we have not enthroned Jesus as king in our life, that Jesus is just our Savior God and not king in our life, we may not be able to receive the blessings that are meant for those who enthrone Jesus as king. So, Moses gave the reasons, and before he institute the blessing. And God's plan is to give you a blessing so that you can be a blesser. And the blessing of God makes one rich. This is what is mentioned in Proverbs. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and He adds no sorrow to it. Okay? With God's blessing in all that you do, you will not crumble under struggles. You will not crumble. But even in the midst of suffering, you can encounter a blessing and experience joy. And the blessing of the Lord makes you a channel of blessing to others. And like Asher, one of the tribes, whose blessing is one of abundance. Okay, because it says that he bathed his feet with oil. It speaks of abundance. Having secured gates and strength of a lifetime, secured that strength and having a secured gate for a lifetime. And he who also received, Asher received the favor of his brothers when he blessed them. So Asher received so much blessings and he was able to intentionally bless his other brothers, the other tribes. And because of which, he also received the favor of his brothers. So, having been blessed, he blessed others, and in return, he was further blessed. He received the favor of his brothers. And also, we have to remember to give thanks when we receive all these blessings. So, are we in a habit of giving thanks? Count your blessings one by one. Remember the song we sing? Count your blessings one by one. And then, when you have counted your blessing, give thanks to God. And lately, in my daily evening prayer with my wife, I find myself giving thanks to God in appreciation of His provision in this next phase of my life. And I have seen that His provision is enormous. It's something that I could not have planned for. It's something that I would not be able to do on my own, but the blessings came. And as I count this as a blessing that God has given, I give thanks. And I can't help it. Every night I will give thanks to Him. So it's okay. You can thank God again and again and again. And in fact, you know what? When we give thanks, it's also a way of ensuring that the blessing that you have received flows continuously. And it's a blessing because as you give thanks, it's also to safeguard. It's like having a shield around these blessings that God has given you so that the blessings will not be stolen. So Asher, favored by his brothers. But have you come across the situation in the cell meeting when the cell leader said, today, any one of you would like to share a thanksgiving of something that the Lord has blessed you in the course of the week? And then there was complete silence. Correct? Yeah. Either because our mind went blank, or because surely there must be some blessings, right? But we have forgotten, or we simply felt that this blessing is upon us because we deserve it anyway. It's natural for us to receive this. Yeah? So when we have that, then we cannot remember to give thanks to God. But I tell you something. If your mind went blank, just tell your cell leader the greatest blessing that you have received, the blessing that we are called to be sons and daughters of God. That the Lord Jesus have redeemed us, that we are saved, and that we can testify of the joy of our salvation. Okay? So next time when your cell leader asks you any thanksgiving, give thanks. And if your mind went blank, you can always give thanks for the greatest blessing that we have in Christ Jesus. Then, safeguards to keep receiving the blessings. So, it's about not blocking the blessings and to guard against, firstly, pride and unrighteousness. So, Jacob had a prophetic utterance upon Simeon and Levi. The background in Genesis 49 verse 5. And Jacob, when he was blessing his sons, he said, Simeon and Levi are brothers. Their swords are weapons of violence. So what actually happened was that in their anger, they killed men, and in their willfulness, they hamstrung oxen. Okay? They tortured even animals, innocent animals. Describing what happened in Genesis. Yeah? So what actually happened was their sister was raped by people from the Shechem. And because of this, then they decided, Simeon and Levi decided to take revenge. And they schemed a strategy and they told Shechem, you guys, you want to marry our sisters and daughters of our tribe, right? And so the Shechem people say, yeah. And then said, and you want to be a part of our family? Yeah. Then you must be circumcised. We are all circumcised. And so the Shechem people look at the attractiveness of the daughters of the tribes. And they say, okay. And so they sign a memorandum of understanding. Memorandum of agreement, not on paper, but with their own foreskin. And so, while they were resting in pain, they were resting for the recovery, this strategy of Simeon and Levi came into place. And so, single-handedly, Simeon and Levi went in and killed all of them in a very torturous manner, so much so that they even tortured the animals who had nothing to do with all this. And so, this was upon them, right? That Jacob says that you have made us to be a sting among the nostrils of the people around us. And as a result, we are going to get killed because of the way you went about in viciousness in attacking them and when you sought the revenge killing. And the most dreadful thing that they did was that they used circumcision, which is a sign of the covenant. They use it in a perverted way. And what was meant to be holy and a symbol of a relationship with God, They use it as a war strategy. And so, Genesis 49 verse 7 says that curse came upon them. Cursed be their anger so fierce, for their fury so cruel. I will scatter them in Jacob and disperse them in Israel. So, they'll be scattered in Israel. The judgment would be this, that Simeon and Levi, when they enter the promised land, they would not be having a permanent inheritance of the land as the others would get. And 10 years ago, there was this student in the academy I was heading. I got to know him because one day he came running back to my office to seek refuge, drenched with blood all over him. And I found out that he had been a warrior. He had been attacking other people. But in this instance, in bright daylight, at a nearby coffee shop next to the poly, this gang attacked him and he suffered the consequence. And so he ran back for refuge. And so I got help to nurse him and I offered him a blessing. I offered him, because I know that the refuge that he takes in me is only temporary. In fact, to keep him for too long will also expose me to danger. So I offered him a blessing to come into the refuge of the one who can solve all his problems and the one who will set him free and the one who will give him the ultimate refuge. To come under the shadow of the Almighty. And so I invited him to church. And he came. And I was so happy. He came, he was amongst us. 10, 12 years ago. And so I called Andy, our young leader. I said, Andy, this is a student from my school. Can you take care of him? And so Andy agreed. So Andy, a young leader, took care of him. Andy is still young today. Okay. But the sad thing was, this guy, he left us after 3 weeks being in church. It was a choice he made. The blessing that was supposed to be upon him, he did not see it. He discarded it. He went back into his old ways. And so I lost track of him after that. And 4 years ago, I saw in the news, he killed somebody. 4 years ago. And the video footage showed him carrying the weapon. And so, he's now sentenced to life imprisonment in a cell in Changi. So, back to Deuteronomy, there was no blessing for Simeon. In fact, if you have noticed that when Moses blessed the tribes of Israel at the end of his life, he blessed all the others, but Simeon was missing. Have you noticed it? If you had counted everything. In fact, Joseph received double portion through his two sons, but Simeon's name was not there. Okay? Because of the grievous sins that he has made. But nonetheless, by the grace of God, he was covered. The blessing upon Simeon was covered through and under Judah, who took upon himself as the elder brother who provided that shelter or blessing for Simeon, so that Simeon would live on. And so that was what happened. And so coming back to that young man again, I'm so glad that Andy, like Judah, continued to keep in touch with him, even in prison. And Andy tells me that this person received the Lord Jesus while in prison. So it's the grace of God. Okay? It's the grace of God. Just like Judah, through the grace of God, provided that shelter for Simeon. I would like to give a bit of a further background to the decline of Simeon, that unlike Levi, who repented, Simeon did not repent. And their sins continued. And you remember the second picture? You remember Zimri? We covered this man before. He was a leader in the Simeon tribe, and he brought in a temple harlot to his tent and caused, and that resulted in God's punishment upon the people of God. The punishment came upon the nation, and on that day, 24,000 died. Okay. So, Zimri, okay, in the tribe of Simeon. Simeon tribe continued to diminish in strength upon entering Israel, just as God was foretold that after the Jews defeated the Canaanites, they were then interspersed with the tribe of Judah, just as Israel foretold it. They were eventually absorbed into the tribe of Judah. Okay? Absorbed into the tribe of Judah. And so they actually lost their identity. And the next point is to safeguard our blessing and to never neglect God's word. To never neglect the service of the Lord. For God is a faithful God who will bless us when we serve Him. And the tribe of Gad received many blessings, but due to neglect, they subsequently missed out on further blessings. Gad became negligent and became inward-looking. Just like Reuben, he became inward-looking. And so what happened was, because they were exceedingly blessed with livestock. You remember the story that we covered recently, right? And so they saw that the land east of Jordan was a good pasture land for their flock. And so they decided to want to stay there. And you remember Moses actually rebuked them, but in the end, Moses relented and say that, okay, if you want to stay here, what you need to do first is to send your fighting men to fight alongside your brothers as they entered to gain the promised land. And after doing that, you can go back. Okay? So that's what they did. So in fact, 2.5 tribes in the end stayed on the east of the Jordan River. Something that was not meant to be, because that's not part of the promised land. But because they saw in their own wisdom that this was a place for them to feed their flock. Yeah? So they were looking for immediate gains as opposed to the ultimate blessing. So that was what happened. And altogether, the tribes of Gad, Reuben, and half-tribe of Manasseh occupied the fertile land east of the Jordan River, which is outside the promised land. And years later, they found themselves in a position, in a compromised position. Because when the enemies came to attack them, they did not have the protection, the natural protection of the river, which will provide protection for those in the promised land, nor of the mountains that is to the north of Israel. So they were completely exposed, and so they were easy targets when the enemies came to attack them. And then, hundreds of years later, when they were actually already dispersed in other lands, and then they made a comeback to the promised land. And so the tribes, when they returned to Israel from Babylon, there was no land for the people of Gad to return to. They were the lost tribe. Okay? So when they returned, these people did not recapture their land. And the lesson is this, that believers should never misuse or squander away God's blessing upon us And that includes spiritual blessing, spiritual gifts. So God has blessed us, and we are to use this blessing to also bless others and not just to keep it inwardly for ourselves. That's what Gad and Reuben also did, right? They received so much blessing, they want to just be inward-looking and to look into their own interests. Okay. So finally, how to be an effective channel of blessing to others? First, based on the word from the examples learned, visualize the great future for the person or the group that you want to bless and to exercise your God-given authority to release that blessing word. Okay, visualize the great future for this person and then bless. And so to visualize, we have to be aligned with God's will. And some obvious ones I already mentioned in the past weeks. Look up blessings of God in Deuteronomy 28, okay, and use those. And like the Levites, we take our place as intercessors for this church. For our cell members, for our friends, we, as leaders, we represent them and we nurture them. And we keep praying for the blessing and faithfulness and fruitfulness, that we are the gatekeepers opening the door for others to come to God. And last year, we decided, that all the cell groups will begin to pray for former members of our church who have left us and still unchurched. And we started praying for them. And so initially, it was like a delayed answer to our prayer. But soon, we got one person who came back, and another person who came back, and a third person who came back. And so, we are so thankful that God is answering our prayers, that we are answering, we are interceding for others, we are calling people back. Those who have left the church, they are coming back. Will you also remember them and pray so that they will come back? And we are also praying for the blessing of fruitfulness. And we hope to see ourselves instrumental in bringing many more into the saving knowledge of God and to receive Jesus as their Lord and risen Savior. So, can you please stand as I close in prayer? Father, we thank you for the blessings you're ever ready to bestow upon us. And we pray for forgiveness that we often sidetrack from these blessings when we get distracted and go wayward. May the forgiveness of Jesus Christ restore and renew our hearts. And we pray that in your mercy that you obliterate every word, every statement and experience and barriers that may have hindered us from receiving the full measure, the full extent of your blessing. And now, may the living waters of the Holy Spirit fill you and flow through you to your struggling and broken world, all this to be restored. May God's peace rest upon you, and may the Lord fill you with His joy, that the joy of the Lord will be your strength. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and may proceed to your small groups.